itong tinatawag na Epistle of John, the second Epistle of John, ang ibig sabihin ng salitang epistle ay mensahe. The word, the second epistle of John, if you look at my Bible, says the second epistle as a title. And the word epistle simply means letter or message. The second message of John. Ito ay nagbibigay babala patungkol sa mga maling doktrina at sa mga nagtuturo ng mga maling doktrina. If there's a theme in the book of 2 John, it would have to be a warning against those who would teach false doctrine, who bring not the doctrine of Christ. They pervert the gospel. They pervert the doctrine of Christ. And so John, in love, brings this lady to the truth, reminds her again of the truth that she had embraced. I don't think that she's backslidden. I just think that everybody often needs to be reminded about the importance of the doctrine of Christ, the doctrine of salvation, and the subsequent doctrines that flow from justification, and all the other blessings that and benefits that come from justification and salvation. So, mahalaga ang tema sa 2 John, yung tema ng katotohanan. You'll always read about the word truth in the second epistle of John. In fact, just in the first three verses, you find truth repeated 5 times. Let's look at that. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and I not I only, but also all they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us, shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. And then you look at verse number 4. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth. That's the 5th time the word truth is repeated. So the theme of 2 John is truth. Now, malinaw ang katotohanan at pag-ibig at itinuturo din sa atin ng Diyos na hindi basta-basta lang tinatanggap ng Kristiyano ang nagsasabi na sila ay Kristiyano. At walang boundary ang pag-ibig. Kailangan, ang boundary ng pag-ibig ay truth. Maraming mga Kristiyano nagsasabi, tanggapin na lang natin ang lahat. Kahit na may kamalian ang doktrina, tanggapin na rin natin ang lahat kasi tinanggap naman tayo ng Diyos. No, hindi pwede. Meron pong katotohanan at meron din kamalian. At kapag hindi ikaw ang nasa katotohanan, ikaw ang nasa kamalian. And so, ang pag-ibig ay dapat merong boundary. At ang boundary ng pag-ibig ng Kristiyano ay truth. Now, there are many Christians who say, shouldn't we love everybody and accept everybody and not worry about details and personalities and gender and social status and all this kind of stuff? Couldn't we just accept everybody? Well, in the Bible, love is bordered by truth. You can't really love somebody if you don't love them in the truth. And without truth, love becomes out of control and it becomes meaningless without the border of truth. So look at verse number 10 for an example. Here's a key verse in the entire epistle of 2 John. Tingnan mo ang verse 10 halimbawa. Ito ang susi, yung verse na key verse ng 2 John. Look at verse number 10. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. Oh, pati pala God bless you, hindi mo pala pwedeng banggitin sa mga nagtuturo ng maling doktrina. Ni payagan sila sa loob ng bahay, hindi rin pwede. So, ang banal na kasulatan ang nagbibigay sa atin ng gabay para alam natin kung ano ang totoo at ano ang mali, ano ang tama at ano ang mali. Hindi po pag-ibig, okay? Katotohanan. Truth is what guides us so that we know that we're not supposed to welcome false teachers and those who are teaching false doctrine, and we don't even bid them Godspeed. We don't even say God bless you because we don't want to be a partaker of their evil deeds, and it's evil when they don't agree with the Bible. Now, habang pinag-aaralan natin itong second epistle of John, papansinin natin ang unang tatlong verses. Ito yung tinatawag na panimula ng section ng Epistle of John. At tuwing nag-aaral tayo ng Bible, magandang tanungin, sino ang nagsulat at kanino niya isinulat ito? Itong nagbibigay klaro habang pinag-aaralan natin ang salita ng Diyos. Halimbawa, yung aklat ni Jonah, sino ang nagsulat noon? At kanino niya isinulat yon? Para kanino? Okay? So, ngayon, nasa 2 John tayo. Now, when we study the Bible, we always have to begin with the introduction. And in the introduction, we will see who wrote it and to whom he wrote it for. And there we gain our edification from that. So, una sa lahat, sino ang may akda ng 2 John? Now, that's a trick question, because we know that the author, not the writer, the author of the Bible is the Holy Spirit of God. Whenever you come to the Word of God, you always have to ask, who's the author? Well, John's the writer, but the Holy Spirit is the author. Yung author, siya yung may authority. Siya ang merong alam, kaalaman. At ang salita ng Diyos ay hindi nanggaling kay Juan, kundi ang may akda ng salita ng Diyos ay yung Holy Spirit of God. Look at Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 5. For example, go over to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 5. And we will see that the Holy Spirit is the author, not John, okay? John is the writer, but the author is the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 5. Tingnan mo ang sinabi dito. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Oh, so by the Spirit. Banal na Espiritu. Look at 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse 16. Here's a very famous verse. You should memorize this if you can. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Pero all scripture is given by inspiration of God. So it was God who authored the scriptures, the Holy Spirit. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 21. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but the holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So it's the Holy Spirit who authored the word of God. Now, kung ang banal na Espiritu ang may akda, sino ang manunulat na ginamit ng Espiritu Santo para isulat ang mga salita ng Diyos? Now, go to 2 John, the second epistle of John, which is what we're going to look at and study. And we'll notice the very first line there. Sabi ng nagsusulat nito, yung manunulat, the elder unto the elect lady. So, sino itong the elder? Well, yung salitang elder sa Tagalog, ibig sabihin ang matanda. Sino itong matandang ito na nagsulat sa hinirang na babae na minahal niya sa katotohanan, pati yung kanyang mga anak, minahal sa katotohanan, at hindi lang siya, pati na rin yung mga lahat ng nakakaalam ng katotohanan, ay nagmahal dito sa hinirang na babaeng ito. Well, yung matandang ito, yung salitang elder, pwede pa lang gamitin sa titulo ng pastor. The elder can refer to the pastor. I want you to look at that. 1 Peter chapter 5. Let's go over to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 1. Tingnan mo yan, ha? The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you. So, sino ang responsibility, may responsibility na magpakain sa flock of God? Pastor. And so, ang pastor, siya yung elder. Ayun ang sabi dyan, the elders which are among you. Yung mga elder na sila ang nagsusupervise sa iglesia ng Panginoon, sa mga iglesia ng Panginoon. So, yun ay ang pastor. Now, meron pa tayong mga additional verses na inilagay ko sa notes ninyo. Pwede niyong tingnan sa other time. Pero sa ngayon, ang pastor, siya yung elder. Now, hindi lang pastor ang elder sa iglesia. Pwede rin yung mga matatandang lalaki, yung mga elder, older men. Okay? Makikita mo yan halimbawa sa Luke chapter 1 verse 18. Look at Luke chapter number 1 verse 18. So not only is the pastor fulfilling the role of an elder in the church, but also older men, just plain mature older men, are called elders. You can see that, for example, in Luke chapter 1 verse 18. And Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. Okay, tingnan mo ang Titus chapter 2, verse 2. Go over to Titus chapter 2 and verse number 2. Here's another example. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. And so, even the older men, pwede rin palang tawaging elder sila. Okay? Now, maaaring si John ay pastor at saka elderly man nang kapanahon na sinulat niya yung second John. Now, kung alam niyo ang history ni John, by the way, when I taught on 1 John, we spent, I think it was 21 weeks in the book of 1 John. I gave the first two lessons on an introduction to the person of John. So if you want to learn about who is John, then I would suggest you would listen to that. You can access that online, those two messages on who is the Apostle John. Pero sa ngayon, alam natin na si John ay matanda na. In fact, siya siguro ang last sa mga apostol na nabubuhay. Lahat na ng mga apostol ay na-martyr na. At si John lang ang hindi pa na-martyr. Siya ay matandang man. He's an older man. And perhaps he's the last of the apostles. So John is the last of the apostles. Now, one thing I will remind you of was that the name elder has the idea of someone who cares. Yung pastor, siya ang nag-aalaga sa flock, may pagmamalasakit siya sa flock, iniingatan niya ang flock, pinaghahanda niya ang mga paghahanda para sa flock, yung pagtuturo, inaayos niya para sa flock, kapag may kailangan ng flock, normally ang pastor ay nandyan para sa kanyang flock. Now, hindi po yan ang ugali ni John nung kabataan niya. John was not a loving elderly pastor in his young days. When Jesus first called him, they were fishermen. Alalahan niyo yung kapatid niya, James and John. They were fishermen, and they actually were very successful fishermen because his father has hired servants. And they were a very successful fisherman. They ran a fishing business. And they were also known as Boanerges. Boanerges. Anong ibig sabihin ng Boanerges? Sons of thunder. Ruckus. They were ruckus. They were wild. And they had hatred in their heart. Because they were younger. They were ready to fight. And remember, it was James and John that said, Lord, send fire down. These people don't want to believe. These people don't want to repent. Send fire down. That's like a lot of us, you know. Pero, habang tumanda si John, nagkaroon siya ng puso at pagmamalasakit para sa tao. At ngayon, hindi na siya sons of thunder. Hindi na siya Boanerges. Ngayon, siya ay elder. Merong pagmamalasakit at maturity na. So, this is a good thing. Tayong mga Kristiyano, habang tumatagal, dapat lumalaki ang ating puso. Pagmamalasakit para sa kapwa-tao. Alright. Now, so the title elder can apply in both ways to the Apostle John. And let's see, who received the message? Well, look at verse number 1. The elder unto the elect lady and her children. So isang elect lady, hinirang naginam. Kilala ni Juan itong babaeng ito at kilala rin ng iglesia ng Panginoon ang babaeng ito. So verse number 12, makikita mo malayo ang kanyang tirahan. Look at verse number 12. And you'll know that this lady lived far away. Verse number 12, having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face that our joy may be full. So, Facebook doesn't cut it. Instagram doesn't cut it. Skype doesn't cut it. There's something about being in the presence of someone you love that your joy may be full. And so, this lady apparently lived far away. She lived quite a distance away. Siya, alam natin, ay nakapaglaki ng mga makajos na mga bata. Look at verse number 4. This lady was able to raise godly children. Look at verse number 4. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. So, kung sino man itong babaeng ito, naayos niya na lumaki ang kanyang mga anak na lumalakad sa katotohanan ng kanyang mga anak. Now, children, you bring great joy to your parents when you walk in the truth. And when you veer off from the truth, you will be a heartache to your parents. Your parents want you to keep on doing the truth. And this lady apparently raised godly children. So, we're learning a lot about this elect lady. Now, yung iba, meron silang mga tinatawag na teorya na yung babaeng ito ay representative ng iglesia kasi ang iglesia sa Bible ay babae. Yung larawan ng babae, ang iglesia ng Panginoon. Now, ang masasabi ko lang dyan ay pag nagbabasa tayo ng Biblia, kung ano ang ibig sabihin na simple, ibig sabihin, yun ang tunay na ibig sabihin ng Biblia. Ang Biblia ay hindi sinulat na parang tinatakpan ng katotohanan. Okay? When we read the Bible, we have to find out what it says, what the meaning is, and the meaning is always literal. It's always straightforward. So if the Bible says that the elder unto the elect lady, that means he's writing to a saved woman who has children that are walking in the truth, who lives far away, who the churches know about her. She's well has a good reputation. There's no warrant to think that this lady is the church. She's not writing to the church and saying this is the lady. That's very much a stretch, and that's what we would call allegorizing the scriptures or reading it figuratively, reading into the scriptures. Where when the Bible is written, it's written in plain language. And so if he says, I'm writing to this elect lady, he's writing to the elect lady. We don't know who she is. The name's not given here. Yung iba nga, sinasabi nila yung pangalan, yung Greek ng lady, Kyria. Kaya ang pangalan niya ay Kyria. Hindi mo pwedeng sabihin yan. Kasi hindi yun ang sinasabi ng Bible. Ang Bible simple lang. The elder unto the elect lady. O di, yung si elder na sulat sa hinirang na ginang sa lady. Yun. So meron talagang lady na sinulat ni John. Ito ang second John. Doon mo mababasa yan, no? So, tingnan mo nga ang verse 13. Look at verse 13. Now, if this was the church, you'd be confused with verse number 13. Look. The children of thy elect sister greet thee. O, di, meron pala siyang kapatid na babae. O, di, kung simbahan siya, paano siya magkakaroon ng kapatid na babae? It doesn't make sense. So, this is a real lady. And what I'm saying is, and when you read the Bible, if the first sense makes sense, seek no other sense. Otherwise, you make no sense. Alright. Now, so kung nagbabasa tayo ng Bible, lagi literal ang pagbasa natin sa Biblia. Now, paminsan-minsan, merong mga versikulo sa Biblia na figurative, pero ina-explain naman yan ng context. Na makikita mo naman, halimbawa, sa Salmo, ang Diyos ay may paktak. May braso at may paktak. Ang Diyos ay espiritu. At wala siyang laman, wala siyang features na ganyan. So, pag sinabing ang Diyos ay may pakpak, ito po ay tinatawag na anthropomorphism. Ano ba yan? Kumbaga, ginagamit lang ng Diyos ang lingwahe ng tao para maunawaan natin ang katangian ng Diyos na siya ay nagpoprotekta sa atin. So, hindi po talaga totoo na may balahibo ang Diyos. No? Lalo na kapag nasa aklat ng tula, katulad ng Psalms. Oh. So, you have to be careful about when you study the Bible to read it literally unless the genre of Scripture is figurative, which the Bible will clearly teach you that. You have to consider the book. So, this here is a straightforward letter. Ito ay letter sa galing kay Juan papunta sa isang hinirang na ginang. Now, ano ang paksa ng 2 John? What is 2 John all about? Well, if I can summarize it in one word, the epistle of 2 John is about truth. Truth. Ang tingnan mo ang verse number 1. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth. Pwede ka palang umibig sa loob ng katotohanan. Umibig ng totoong totoo na sumasang-ayon sa katotohanan. Ang pagmamahal ng katotohanan ay pagtanggi ng kamalian. Hindi mo pwedeng iwasan yan. If you love the truth, you will hate error. You will hate falsities and falsehoods. If you love God, you'll hate the devil. It only makes sense. And so here John loves this lady in the truth. So truth allows us to love one another. Truth allows us to love one another. When you don't have truth, you can't have true love without truth. Okay? Tingnan mo. Ang pag-ibig ay nananahan sa katotohanan. Love abides in truth. At ang fellowship natin ay palaging fellowship in truth. Now, kapag nagsimula tayo na magturo ng maling doktrina o ibang doktrina o hindi isang ayon sa salita ng Diyos, iwanan mo na ang samahan na ito kasi hindi maka-Diyos Hindi mo pwedeng i-invento ang kahit ang gusto mong turo. Kailangan galing ito, base ito sa salita ng Diyos. Yun ang katotohanan. Now, ang katotohanan ay namamalagi sa Kristiyano palagi. Look at verse number 2. Look at verse number 2. For the truth's sake which dwelleth in us. So yung katotohanan pala ay nananahan sa loob ng Kristiyano. Alright? Sino ang katotohanan nananahan sa mga Kristiyano? Si Jesus Christ. Bakit? Sabi niya, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So itong verse 2 ay, this verse 2 is referring to Jesus. For the truth's sake which dwelleth in us. Now, how does Jesus dwell in us? How does Jesus dwell in us? Through the person and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Okay? It's the Holy Spirit of God who literally dwells in us. And He is in us. He goes with us wherever we go. The Holy Spirit is always there. And never to leave us. He'll never leave us alone. Amen. And that's why you know you'll never be alone. Okay? Now, tingnan mo ang verse number 1 again. Go back to verse 1. It says, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that know the truth. So, ang responsibility ng pag-ibig, hindi lang sa elder, pero pati na rin sa lahat ng mga nakakaalam ng katotohanan. So, we have fellowship, church fellowship, is based upon truth. Kapag walang truth, edi hindi, walang basihan ng fellowship. So, kailangan merong truth. Tapos nandun ang love, tapos nandun ang elder, nandun ang church, at nandyan, nananahan ang banal na Espiritu, ang Panginoong Hesukristo sa pamamagitan ng banal na Espiritu. At ang truth at saka love ay nagbibigay ng tatlong regalo. Tingnan mo ang verse number 3. The three blessings that come from truth. The three blessings that come from truth. Number 1, grace. Grace be unto you. Be with you, the Bible says. Grace be with you. Ano yung ibig sabihin ng gracia? Ibig sabihin ng gracia ay tulong. Yeah, undeserved favor, unmerited favor, pabor na galing sa Diyos na hindi ko naman kayang pagsikapan. Pinagkaloob lang sa akin ng Diyos dahil sa kanyang kabutihan. Grasya ng Diyos. Hindi mo makakamta ng grasya ng Diyos kapag wala kang katotohanan. Ang grasya ng Diyos ay dumadapo sa mga gusto na magpatuloy sa katotohanan. Sa palagay mo, kung meron kang dapat gawin para sa Panginoon, bibigyan ka ba niya ng grasya para magampanan mo ang layunin ng Diyos sa iyong buhay? Of course. So pag merong Kristiyano na hindi niya ginagawa ang alam niya na dapat niyang gawin, ang pagkukulang ay hindi sa Diyos. Ang pagkukulang ay sa Kristiyano. Because God will always grace you with the ability to do what you ought to be doing for God. And when a Christian neglects to do what they should do for God, it's not God who doesn't have the grace, it's the Christian who doesn't want God's grace. God is gracious. And I love the name grace. Mahilig ako sa salitang grace kasi ang grace, favor ng Diyos, ang Diyos ang nagbibigay niyan. And when God gives grace, He gives liberally. God graced us when He saved us. All right. So the first blessing of truth is grace. Kaya yung Kristiyano na ligtas, pag nasabi niya sa sarili niya, ako'y makasalanan at sumasampalataya ako kay Kristo, unang binibigay sa kanya ng Diyos, grasya. Alam niya sa kanyang sarili, pinatawad na ako ng Diyos sa aking mga kasalanan dahil sa kabutihan ng Diyos sa aking buhay. Grasya. It's a wonderful blessing. Here's another blessing. Grace be with you. Mercy. Mercy. Ano yung mercy sa Tagalog? Awa. Awa. Kapag ikaw ay sumusunod sa katotohanan ng Diyos, merong awa ang Diyos sa iyo, sa iyong kalagayan, sa iyong sitwasyon. Ang awa ng Diyos hindi mabibili ng pera. At ang awa ng Diyos ay dahil sa kabutihan niya sa atin. Again, it's almost synonymous, grace and mercy. But mercy is God withholding what you do deserve. You deserve judgment, but God withholds judgment. You deserve to be removed, but God withholds that. All that's called mercy. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. As long as you're in the truth, you can claim God's mercy. Here's the third blessing that comes from truth. Grace be with you, mercy, and peace. Peace. Verse number 3, peace from God. Sa buhay natin, maraming maingay. Maraming magulo, kaguluhan. Pero meron palang kapayapaan na binibigay sa atin ng Diyos na hindi kayang ibigay sa atin ng pera o ng trabaho o ng kahit sinong tao. Kapayapaan na kung saan pag dumating ang pagsubok, hindi ka na naguguluhan. Alam mo kung ano ang dapat mong gawin dahil ikaw ay Kristiyano. At ang Diyos ay nagbibigay sa'yo ng kapayapaan. Have you ever felt that peace of God that passes understanding? Oh, the peace. You cannot pay for that. You cannot. Money can't give it to you. Your parents can't give it to you. Your work can't give it to you. Nobody can give peace except for God. Not even drugs. Yung mga nagda-drugs. Kaya sila nagda-drugs. Gusto nilang makalimutan ang problema nila. Problema, nandiyan pa rin ang problema pagka bumalik na sila sa pagiging high. Pag nag-low na sila, tapos dadagdag pa ang problema. yung mga umiinom sila dahil gusto nilang kalimutan ang problema. Kaya lang, pag tapos na ang kalasingan, wala ng pera, bugbog pa sila at dagdag pa ang problema. Compounding, okay? Pero ang kapayapaan na galing sa Diyos, hindi mo makukuha sa bote. Hindi mo makukuha sa drugs. Galing yan sa langit. And so we should be praying for grace. We should be praying for mercy. We should be praying for peace. Eto, these are the blessings that come to us because we are in truth. Truth. Sigurado, si Juan na lang ang nananatiling buhay. Kaya siya ang tinatawag na the elder. Ang katotohanan ay sikreto ng malakas at masiglang buhay ng Kristiyano. If you want to know the secret of good Christian living, it begins with the word truth. Truth. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth that we find in your word. That, Lord, we don't need to put up a false front and put up a facade or put up a fake attitude. But God, you give grace and you give mercy and you give peace. You have love for those who are in the truth. Lord, keep us in the truth. Help us to walk in the truth. Help us to be glorifying to you. Help us, Lord, as we're learning all about truth, how to live truth practically speaking. It'll make a difference in our lives. We desire your grace, your mercy, and your peace to abide with us, Lord. And we thank you that truth will never leave us as long as the Lord Jesus Christ is in our hearts. And we thank you for that wonderful gift of the truth. Help us to love it. Help us to defend it. Help us to apply it. Help us to be truthful Christians. We may not have a lot, but may it never be said that we are liars. Help us to be truthful. Just as true as you are truthful. Help us to reflect your truthfulness, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for this day and ask your blessing upon each and every one of us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.